All right, Wednesday afternoon. We are almost to the weekend. I'm Scoot. Glad you are with us if you're just tuning in. Welcome to the show. We've been talking about Governor Jeff Landry. We've been talking about him for a while, actually, since he became governor. But recently, I've talked about some of the moves that he has made makes it seem as if he might be more interested in a national political stage than in being governor of Louisiana. And when he pushed through the legislature and supported this idea of the Ten Commandments being in every public school classroom, it occurred to me that he's looking for something on a national level, that he's trying to get national attention, and he's using Louisiana to get that attention. Ultimately, he's going to be spending our tax dollars to get that attention, which kind of pisses me off a little. There is an article on our website about whether or not Jeff Landry is using Louisiana to draw national attention. It's on our website at WWL.com. Also, the blog that I wrote yesterday about Trump being tortured while being booked in the Fulton County Jail. I mean, what a joke. He's been bashed on social media. I cover some of this in the blog. It's on our website at WWL.com. You can also find it on the Scoot, on the Facebook page, where you can comment on it there as well. Let's see. A lot to talk about. I just heard Chris Miller talking in the news, and I've heard this afternoon, but haven't commented yet, on the 40% of Louisiana adults not working, and they don't want to work. You know, yesterday we were talking about the number of Gen Z members who are choosing to lead a NEET lifestyle. NEET, N-E-E-T. It's an acronym for Not in Employment, Education, or Training. In other words, doing nothing. And there are people who apparently don't want to do anything, and they're living off the government, and they're happy with this. I wouldn't be happy with that. I mean, why would you be happy with that? What, you wouldn't want more? I think this really touches on the lack of desire to be better that has infected a lot of people. I mean, 40% of Louisiana adults are not working and don't want to work, not looking for jobs, and there are jobs everywhere. And there's that many people who just don't want to work, and they're just happy with what they have. I mean, if you're living off the government, you're not getting that much. You're getting enough to get by, but you're not living any kind of great life, and you should want more. I mean, are we just that lazy? Is there just this mentality here that we're lazy? Am I missing something here? Or is this just about being lazy? It seems like it's just about being lazy. Again, unless I'm missing something. Also, you know, the NBA draft is today. And a lot of people are concerned about the Pelicans trading B.I., Brandon Ingram. You know, we didn't win with him. So he might not be the key to success. And it seems like they're trying to build the team around Zion, which I think is a wise move. B.I. was great, but a lot of times he faltered. And when we really needed him, he wasn't there. I mean, he didn't hit a lot of shots. So, I mean, everything that I have seen about the guy in the media, I don't know him, but everything I've seen about him makes it seem like he's a really good guy. And a really, really great player. But maybe he's not the right player. Maybe his value is greater on the open market in the NBA. So, you know, don't panic. I mean, if you're a Pelicans fan, don't panic if they trade B.I. because I remind you, we didn't win with him. So he can't be that big of a key to success. All right, we have been talking about the debate being tomorrow, and a Republican a politician says that Joe Biden may be jacked up on Mountain Dew, and we were talking about Mountain Dew earlier, having a lot of sugar and caffeine in it, and people who get jacked up on that. I've said I can't, my body cannot tolerate caffeine, so I don't have the opportunity to get that boost in the morning or that boost around lunch or, you know, maybe at 3:14 in the afternoon, you're kind of getting a little bit sluggish and it's still far enough away from bedtime. So, you know, you want to get that hit of coffee so you can get that little jolt. I wish I could do that, but my body just can't tolerate caffeine like that. So I don't know. Is it going to be jacked up on Mountain Dew? I mean, who are we going to see tomorrow? Is Joe Biden going to appear to be jacked up on something? I don't know. And I mentioned earlier in the show, and I saw this yesterday on the news, they should not let Joe Biden walk alone. When he's walking alone, it just accentuates how slow he is. And there was a scene of him walking. He was going to Camp David to prepare for the debate. And Joe Biden is walking from the plane, the steps of the plane, to Marine One, the helicopter. And he's alone. And he's walking across this grass area. And he's so slow. And it looks like he has to concentrate on each individual little step. So why do they let him walk alone? Man, there should be somebody there with him. It wouldn't exaggerate how slow he is. So I don't know. I can't figure that out. But I thought that was really interesting. I know that these people don't know anything. But did you know that former President Trump has not received one donation from Fortune 100 CEOs? Not one donation. A lot of his donations come from people who, don't make a lot of money. And it's $5 here and $10 and $25 and $100 and selling merchandise. And, you know, I mean, I think that's cool. You know, you get the money where you can get the money. But he's not received one donation from any of the CEOs at Fortune 100 companies. Also, the day before the debate, President Trump, former President Trump is, he's still President Trump. I mean, you still refer to, he's not president, although some people think he is. He's not president, but some people still refer to an ex-president as the president. As you know, you would still address Bill Clinton as President Clinton or President Obama or President Bush. So calling him president is not, it's not a Freudian slip that I think he's going to be president, although he might be. He might be president. But Trump has come out on social media with accusations about Joe Biden and the CNN moderators that are not substantiated with facts. And some of the things that he's talking about involve his son, Hunter Biden. Joe Biden and all of these. Basically, that Joe Biden is a walking, lying machine. And Trump comes out with a lot of things that are not backed up by facts. Says loose with the truth as Crooked Joe, and talking about his handlers. And former President Trump is saying that the Biden people are thrilled that there will be no fact checkers during the debate. They're not going to fact check during the debate. So Biden can lie, Trump can lie, no fact checking during the debate. And so Trump thinks that Biden is really excited about this. I would think that Donald Trump would be the one who would be excited about this. But Trump refers to five fake intelligence agents in Russia, the fake suckers and losers story that was created about the beloved military, cheating in college, saying that he was first in law school when he was actually last, claiming to march for civil rights, drove trucks, has a 6.2 handicap when he really can't hit a golf ball more than 10 yards, and other falsehoods. And so Trump says that he's just a walking line machine. But, you know, these things have come up, and none of these things can be verified by any facts. But again, when it comes to politics, it seems like facts don't matter. And I personally think that's a shame. Let's go to Ryan in Madisonville. Ryan, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Scoot, your show is amazing, sir. And it transcends time, generations, and love your show.
I appreciate that.
I had a thought while you were saying something about the NEET lifestyle and a lot of the younger people who are not doing anything. I'm 34 years old, and I'm millennial, and I grew up incredibly conservative. My aunt listened to Rush Limbaugh and, you know, loved all that, and I grew up in that. Over the last couple of years since COVID, I have actually removed myself out of the political arena, and I think the main reason that I've done that is because of a lot of truths, whether that be misinformation or not, but a lot of truths that a lot of these younger kids are seeing, including myself, whether that be on TikTok, whether that be on X, they are seeing a lot of things that just don't make sense. And I don't know how much we can go into the controllers of our world, the true controllers of our world. And you know, that's a deep topic, and that's not really why I'm calling. I'm just talking about the bigger picture of why I think younger people are removing themselves completely. And I work two full-time jobs. I'm a regional manager for a company that at the airport, and I also work for the TV ratings. I won't say the specific names just because of reasons, but I work full-time, and, you know, I played football my entire life. But I recently removed myself because of those trees, and I'll stop talking.
Well, Ryan, you know, I understand why you're disgusted with politics. You know, people get disgusted because of the lies, because of the disinformation, and the fact that people get away with saying stuff that's not true, and people believe stuff that's not true. It changes the whole landscape of democracy when there are no set facts, when facts are based on what you want to believe a fact to be.
100%. The two dichotomies that I feel like we're looking at right now is the fact that they keep us, and when I say they, the people who are really in control, the shadow government or the people who are higher than our government, who actually pull the strings, they're keeping us so politically divided, whether that be gay or straight, Christian, not Christian, atheism. A really interesting thing that I read recently was a letter written by Albert Pike to Melvini in 1871 that laid out the three world wars. And then the very last statement that he read on the World War III that we're supposedly entering into right now and the political cataclysm that we see ourselves is the fact that Christian and Muslims are going to politically annihilate the Christian and atheist agendas to bring forth this Luciferian agenda. And that was a really interesting thing that I had, and this is being pushed on a massive level right now on TikTok and X, and a lot of people are digging into this, and I think that is a reason why people are removing themselves from the agenda.
Yeah, you know, Ryan, I love that you're a thinker. I love that you're 34 years old and you're listening to talk radio, and I appreciate the kind words about our show. And you know, there are people who criticize what we do, but on the show, we are an alternative to traditional talk, and most of traditional talk is conservative-driven. So if there are shows and stations around the country that are constantly bashing Biden every day, all day, and that's all they do, and they're hiding information about Trump, all we do is present all of the information and some things about Donald Trump
I respect you, and I don't want to cut you off. I don't want to cut you off, but one of the main points that I want to say is there's only five companies that own all of media, and they own CNN and they own Fox News, if we're going to bring it right up to the top. And they keep us in this constant state, whether it's Christian or atheist or black or white or gay or straight. They keep us fighting. And even this whole dichotomy of Trump versus Biden, I mean, you said it so many times on your shows, and it's so true about why are these our two choices, right? And that's why it produces such great content for you to be an alternative news source to get people's voices out. But it's still a bigger picture of that. We got to go one step higher of the information that we're not getting, of who is the true players of our world. And that goes, we can't say that. I can't talk about that on the radio. We can't talk about that. But I know what I'm saying. I don't want to say those certain terms, you know?
Well, we can talk about just about everything. I don't specifically know what you're referring to, but, you know, we talk about a lot of stuff.
Let me go ahead and just jump to the chase, and I'll say Zionism, or the controllers of our world, the bankers, right? They own BlackRock, and that BlackRock owns all the five media companies, Lock, Stop, and Barrel. So all of them are owned by one people, and so Fox News and CNN, they keep this narrative. And have you heard of Operation Mockingbird, where all of the news stations say the same thing all across the country?
No, but they do.
Okay, so look at that. Yes, they do, right? And where are they getting that script from? And I'm talking about the controllers, the true controllers of our world. And that is coming from, it's hard to say these terms, but I won't. But it's the controllers of our world.
Well,
I'm going to
look into that, Ryan. But I will tell you this.
Yeah,
The company that owns WWL is a huge company. But WWL in New Orleans is a very different radio station. And I am allowed to have my opinions. I'm not guided by anything. There's no meeting to tell me what to talk about or what to say. Mm-hmm. And I am totally free from guidance when it comes to talking about politics or talking about anything, when it comes to picking topics or when it comes to my opinions. So there is there's total freedom here. And I could tell you from being inside the business and being on the air here that, you know, I'm not being guided by anybody. And I think that's one of the really great things about Odyssey, our company. It's one of the tremendous things about WWL. All right, we're going to come back. Today is the birthday of Terry Nunn. Terry Nunn was that really cute blonde lead singer of the band Berlin. You know, Take My Breath Away, and Berlin was one of those bands that was part of the evolution of punk to commercial new wave that led into the music of the 80s. And I love talking to her about her music. I had an opportunity to talk to her before her last show here in New Orleans, and we were in the audience at the Sanger Theater. Obviously, there was nobody else there. It was during a sound check. But I had a chance to talk to her about her music. Also, I had a chance to talk to her about her newfound sensuality. And that was a fun conversation. So we're going to share part of that with you today on our birthday coming up next. If you want to join us with a comment about anything we talk about on the show this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, coming up, I want to talk about Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signing into law a bill that bans the intentional release of balloons for memorials, like children die and people gather together with candles, and then they release all these balloons into the air. That is not really a good thing. And I don't agree with much when it comes to Ron DeSantis, but I agree with this ban. And I know it makes us feel good to release the balloons. It's a beautiful sight, but it's not good. And we'll talk more about that when we come back. Also, I'll get to some of your calls and some of your texts with Ian. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. This was their biggest hit. This is the band Berlin. Terry Nunn is the lead singer of Berlin. And a couple of years ago, they were touring with the B-52s, and I had a chance to sit down with Terry Nunn of Berlin before the show. And we talked about her music. And I said one thing that I've always been impressed with was the meaning of your music. And again, I mentioned that Berlin was one of those commercial new music bands, and they kind of transitioned from raw punk, which really never caught on in America like it did in the UK. It was kind of a version of raw punk. It was a commercialized version of raw punk. I think that's the best way to put it. And punk did influence American music, but it never caught on in America. And so I asked Terry, because of the electronic music genre, you were really more about the beat.
Yeah, I mean, we wrote a lot about love and sex because we were 20, you know, in the first album. Second album got a little darker, and the third album we started really getting into some different issues. You know, it's great because getting older, life gets more rich and complex. And
you know, and for those of you who are like millennials and a lot younger than us, there's a lot to look forward to, right?
Yeah, there is. You know, Berlin, when we started, that's what I wanted. I wanted kids my age. I was 20, so the kids that were listening to us were in their teens and 20s. I wanted them to know that it's cool getting to be an adult and getting older. That's why we dressed up. We wore, you know, suits and dresses, because growing up, the adults around me weren't happy. They were stressed out. They were bummed. They weren't living their dreams. They were tired. And I wanted growing up to be cool and something to look forward to. So that's what we wanted to model.
And Terry Lynn is 63 years old today. So this was a few years ago. So she's around 60. But, you know, Terry Lynn had been talking about this new discovery about herself. And I loved talking to Terry about her newfound sensuality, even at this stage in her life.
Yeah, sensuality changes as we get older, and I didn't expect it, and I really like it. One of the songs on the album is called I Want You, and it's about how in the old days, sex had to be important. It had to mean something more, and it had to be loving, and it had to go somewhere. And now, it doesn't have to go anywhere. I just want to get laid.
Well, at least you're honest.
Yeah. So
I mean, and you're a rock star.
I love that relaxing. It's almost feeling more like a guy in a way in that attitude, because guys have always felt that way, and I didn't when I was a kid, but I kind of just feel more, yeah.
How much has that, though, been the manifestation of just women being more equal in society?
Oh, this isn't about that. Yeah. This is just about an orgasm's an orgasm, and it's always fun.
Interesting conversation with Terry Nunn, who's 63 years old today. Okay, if you listen to this show, you know that I really didn't like Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. I mean, I just think he was representing the wrong things. He was one of the leaders of the culture war movement, which I just think is a great distraction from the real issues that we have. The culture wars are really about making you fear that you're losing your culture, that we're losing who we are, and that it's being taken over. And it's not a new thing. This is a fear that has existed in America for, you know, decades. But the new fear of the culture wars, and then it was defined as the culture wars. Well, you know, I didn't like Ron DeSantis, and I'm not alone. I mean, not many people supported him when he was running for president. He was out there. I'm sure he will be part of the Trump administration if Trump wins in November. But I do agree with Ron DeSantis when he signed a bill on Monday banning the intentional release of balloons in the state of Florida. Lawmakers drafted legislation, and this is designed to minimize the number of balloons floating over the coast. And, you know, they've got a lot of lakes. They've got a lot of shoreline in Florida. And when you release balloons, let's say it's the sad memorial of a child who was killed in a home, and people show up at the home. This is just one example. People show up at the home, and they light candles, they have a vigil, and then there's a balloon release. And they release all these balloons into the air. And it's almost like you're trying to send these balloons up to heaven to be with the child that you might believe who died is in heaven. And so it's an emotional thing. It's cathartic. It makes you feel like you're really remembering the child. But there's a problem with that. Because these balloons, they don't fall on you. When you release them into the air, they end up elsewhere. And those balloons end up being litter. And sometimes they litter the waterways. Sometimes they have a negative impact on wildlife. You know, some of the animals eat the balloons, and that's not good. And some animals might die as a result of that. But the bill was ultimately designed to eliminate litter. And I know that there's this great sense of, oh, we're doing the right thing by remembering this child, and the balloon release is a wonderful thing. I get that. But realistically, it's not good for the environment. And I'm not some kind of environmental wacko. And certainly Ron DeSantis is not an environmental wacko. The bill was actually amended, though, to exempt children who are 6 years and younger from releasing a balloon, intentionally releasing a balloon. Because sometimes a balloon gets away from you. And let's say you're at Disney World in Orlando. There are a lot of balloons around Disney World, and they've got helium in them. And, you know, you might actually release a balloon. But that balloon is going to go somewhere, and it's going to end up littering a beach or maybe one of the areas, maybe the water park or something at Disney World. So, you know, I understand this, and I think maybe we ought to try to think about some other way to remember the children or the person who has died when we have these balloon releases, because it's usually attached to some kind of an emotional thing. We need to find another way, because balloon releases, even here in New Orleans and in Louisiana, it's not a good idea, because the balloons end up in our swampland. They end up on our shores. They end up in somebody's backyard, and it ends up being litter. It feels good at the time, but it ends up being litter. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. It's 504-260-1870. All right, we will get to some of your text messages when we come back. Yeah, the balloons, the release, the balloons going up. This whole song, 99 Red Balloons, This was all about the Cold War with Russia, and it was all about the possibility of nuclear war and the idea of releasing, you know, red balloons into the air. The red balloon flies up in the air. I get it. It feels good, but it's not a good thing to do. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised with all of the wildlife and wetland areas we have here if this is not going to become something that might even be an issue here in Louisiana. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be back on WWL. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1956, Look Magazine, well, it used to be a popular magazine in America, Look Magazine carried an article entitled "The Great Rock and Roll Controversy." Swing band leader Benny Goodman was asked to make comments about rock and roll. And this song, Blue Moon, I think it's by the Marcells. Is that right? This was a classic rock and roll song from the 50s. You have no idea, in the world that we live in today, you have no idea how controversial this was. Now, I was a kid, so I wasn't paying attention to this, but I've read about it and learned about it. Rock and roll was very, very controversial, and when we celebrate things on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, we constantly find these moments when we're reminded that rock and roll, 50s rock and roll, was really controversial. So they ask swing band leader Benny Goodman to comment about rock and roll. His comment was, quote, "I guess it's okay, man. At least it has a beat." But there were a lot of people who were really, really critical of it. And just look at the title of the article from Look Magazine, "The Great Rock and Roll Controversy." And the basic controversy was the moral right, the moral majority, was really active in the 50s and early 60s in particular. And the moral majority, the right-wing people in particular, were very, very upset with the sexual overtones in rock and roll, the movements, the dancing. They saw it as primal. They saw it as encouraging sexuality. They also also criticized the idea that rock and roll brought black and white teenagers together, and there was still segregation. But it brought them together, and there were so many black artists that white young people were dancing to, and they were loving the music. And so they were concerned about that. But they were mainly concerned about the morality of rock and roll. And these were serious concerns back then. And when you think about the music that we have today and the criticism that there is today, I mean, I think we're reminded that there has always been criticism of music, at least since the 50s. I can't go back farther than that, but I'm sure, you know, the Roaring 20s, I'm sure there are analogies with the Roaring 20s, but I don't know anything about that, really. So I can just go back to the 50s, and as I've mentioned many times, there were directives to the camera people on, like, the Ed Sullivan Show. Anytime Elvis appeared, his hip gyrations were seen as sexual. He was gyrating those hips. And that was seen as very sexual. So they only showed Elvis from the waist up. And this was all designed to kind of homogenize, I guess, rock and roll. It was just seen as unruly. And again, the biggest thing was the sexuality, the primal music and the dances and just encouraging SEX. All right, let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
All right, we're going to kind of round up everything we've been talking about today. Here's here's a prediction about the debate. This text says, "I predict that President Trump will employ AI on almost every question. He is definitely going to use arrogance and ignorance during the debate," which I thought was very funny. Yeah. Here's a text that says, "Hey, that balloon ban makes sense. All that plastic accumulating in drains, rivers, streams, pumping stations, etc. can't be good. Hundreds, perhaps thousands every year. They're going to pile up."
Yeah, and it doesn't land on you. That's why people don't see it, because it blows up in the air. I mean, it goes somewhere else, and then I guess it reaches a certain point in the atmosphere when it when the balloons just pop.
Yep.
And then they fall to the ground at that point, and they could go a great distance before actually popping and falling to the ground. And, you know, outside of New Orleans, I mean, think about all the wetlands and the swamps and all the wildlife that we have. They could all be affected by that.
Here's a text that says, Scoot, why are you attacking innocent balloons? What kind of right-wing nut are you? They only yearn to fly away. Well, the wind in their hair, soaring to great heights of the only freedom they will ever have.
I have been criticized for being a balloonist. I think balloonism is an important topic in America. It happens. There are people who are critical of balloons, and, you know, it sometimes it has to do with the experience that you had. You know, hating balloons is it's not something that you're born with. You know, you're taught to hate balloons. Or it was that balloon that popped in your face that scared you, that gave you that initial bias against balloons. So it's something I have to try to be better at.
And this is not anything about balloons or the debate, but it did kind of just come across the wire, and we'll have more about it in WWL First News. Jackie Clarkson has passed away.
Oh, Jackie Clarkson, a city council member for so many years.
State rep,
Yeah, she was very prominent on the New Orleans City Council, and also, you know, was very vocal when it came to a lot of issues. So I'm sorry to hear that Jackie Clarkson has passed away. And again, more on WWL.com and more on our news. Let's see. You know, a caller earlier, Ryan, I think it was, from the North Shore, mentioned something about Operation Mockingbird. And he said it's about this idea or this conspiracy, if you will, that TV stations all say the same thing. I'm going to look into this, and we'll comment on it on the show tomorrow. I'm going to be interested to see what this is based on. Because TV stations, for example, cover news that they believe will get your attention. That's the goal. I mean, it's sad, but news has become entertainment. I guess it always was, but not like it is today. And cable news has even turned the regular evening broadcast news into more of an entertainment medium. And as long as the goal is, and I've said this countless times, as long as the goal is to get the largest possible audience to generate the greatest amount of revenue, then the news is going to be subject to the same principles that govern any form of entertainment. There needs to be conflict. It needs to be about sex. It needs to be about human struggles. There need to be these elements that are part of entertainment because it's designed to get your attention. But the news tends to cover the same thing because most of the news stations have the same ideas when it comes to what it's going to take to get your attention. On Fox News the other day, they broke into the news. I forgot who was doing the news, but they broke into the news. Somebody was doing, I forget who it was, but they were doing news, and they broke into the newscast to report that Justin Timberlake had been arrested on DWI charges. How is that important compared to the news? But it's an entertainer. So, you're to break into the news to give you this information about an entertainer. And I remember years ago, one of the true journalists on MSNBC was doing a story about national security, and they broke into the news to tell you about the arrest of Justin Bieber in Miami. So these are indications that the news has become entertainment. All right, we're going to come back to wrap up the show. And this is the NBA draft. So I know that there will be a lot to talk about coming up on Sports Talk. And, man, tomorrow is the debate. So we'll be talking about that on the show tomorrow. Yes, cruel summer. So far, it has been hot. It has been a cruel summer. Let's hope it doesn't get too cruel. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, tomorrow is the debate, so we'll be talking about the debate, and I'm sure there'll be like a lot of new information out about Trump and Biden getting ready for the debate, speculation about who's going to win, and, you know, a lot of people have already figured out who's going to win. It's the candidate they support. Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Steve Geller coming up next. It's the NBA draft tip-off, and they'll have a lot to say about that. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, our assistant program director and brand manager, and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, traffic with Joe Cardosi, and as always, I thank you for being part of the show. Hey, if you haven't done it yet, become part of our family on Scoot on the Air, Facebook and Instagram. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans. On the SOTA rock culture calendar on this day in 1956, Look Magazine, well, it used to be a popular magazine in America, Look Magazine carried an article entitled The Great Rock and Roll Controversy. Swing band leader Benny Goodman was asked to make comments about rock and roll. This song, Blue Moon, I think it's by the Marcells, is that right? This was a classic rock and roll song from the 50s. You have no idea. In the world that we live in today, you have no idea how controversial this was. Now, I was a kid, so I wasn't paying attention to this, but I've read about it and learned about it. Rock and roll was very, very controversial, and when we celebrate things on the SOTA rock culture calendar, we constantly find these moments when we're reminded that rock and roll, 50s rock and roll, was really controversial. So they ask a swing band leader, Benny Goodman, to comment about rock and roll. His comment was, quote, "I guess it's okay, man. At least it has a beat." But there were a lot of people who were really, really critical of it. And just look at the title of the article from Look Magazine, The Great Rock and Roll Controversy. And the basic controversy was the moral right, the moral majority, was really active in the 50s and early 60s in particular. And the moral majority, the right-wing people in particular, were very, very upset with the sexual overtones in rock and roll, the movements, the dancing. They saw it as primal. They saw it as encouraging sexuality. They also also criticized the idea that rock and roll brought black and white teenagers together, and there was still segregation. But it brought them together, and there were so many black artists that white young people were dancing to, and they were loving the music. And so they were concerned about that. But they were mainly concerned about the morality of rock and roll. And these were serious concerns back then. And when you think about the music that we have today and the criticism that there is today, I mean, I think we're reminded that there has always been criticism of music, at least since the 50s. I can't go back farther than that, but I'm sure, you know, the Roaring 20s, I'm sure there are analogies with the Roaring 20s, but I don't know anything about that, really. So I can just go back to the 50s, and as I've mentioned many times, there were directives to the camera people on, like, the Ed Sullivan Show. Anytime Elvis appeared, his hip gyrations were seen as sexual. He was gyrating those hips. And that was seen as very sexual. So they only showed Elvis from the waist up. And this was all designed to kind of homogenize, I guess, rock and roll. It was just seen as unruly. And again, the biggest thing was the sexuality, the primal music and the dances and just encouraging SEX. All right, let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
All right, we're going to kind of round up everything we've been talking about today. Here's here's a prediction about the debate. This text says, "I predict that President Trump will employ AI on almost every question. He is definitely going to use arrogance and ignorance during the debate," which I thought was very funny. Yeah. Here's a text that says, "Hey, that balloon ban makes sense. All that plastic accumulating in drains, rivers, streams, pumping stations, said it can't be good. Hundreds, perhaps thousands every year. They're going to pile up."
Yeah, and it doesn't land on you. That's why people don't see it, because it blows up in the air. I mean, it goes somewhere else, and then I guess it reaches a certain point in the atmosphere when it when the balloons just pop.
Yep.
And then they fall to the ground at that point. And they could go a great distance before actually popping and falling to the ground. And, you know, outside of New Orleans, I mean, think about all the wetlands and the swamps and all the wildlife that we have. They could all be affected by that.
Here's a text that says, Scoot, why are you attacking innocent balloons? What kind of right-wing nut are you? They only yearn to fly away. Well, the wind in their hair, soaring to great heights of the only freedom they will ever have.
I have been criticized for being a balloonist. I think balloonism is an important topic in America. It happens. There are people who are critical of balloons, and, you know, it sometimes it has to do with the experience that you had. You know, hating balloons is it's not something that you're born with. You know, you're taught to hate balloons. Or it was that balloon that popped in your face that scared you, that gave you that initial bias against balloons. So it's something I have to try to be better at.
And this is not anything about balloons or the debate, but it did kind of just come across the wire, and we'll have more about it in WWL First News. Jackie Clarkson has passed away.
Oh, Jackie Clarkson, a city council member for so many years.
State rep, yep.
Yeah, she was very prominent on the New Orleans City Council, and also, you know, was very vocal when it came to a lot of issues. So I'm sorry to hear that Jackie Clarkson has passed away. And again, more on WWL.com and more on our news. Let's see. You know, a caller earlier, Ryan, I think it was, from the North Shore, mentioned something about Operation Mockingbird. And he said it's about this idea or this conspiracy, if you will, that TV stations all say the same thing. I'm going to look into this, and we'll comment on it on the show tomorrow. I'm going to be interested to see what this is based on. Because TV stations, for example, cover news that they believe will get your attention. That's the goal. I mean, it's sad, but news has become entertainment. I guess it always was, but not like it is today. And cable news has even turned the regular evening broadcast news into more of an entertainment medium. And as long as the goal is, and I've said this countless times, as long as the goal is to get the largest possible audience to generate the greatest amount of revenue, then the news is going to be subject to the same principles that govern any form of entertainment. There needs to be conflict. It needs to be about sex. It needs to be about human struggles. There need to be these elements that are part of entertainment, because it's designed to get your attention. But the news tends to cover the same thing, because most of the news stations have the same ideas when it comes to what it's going to take to get your attention. On Fox News the other day, they broke into the news. I forgot who was doing the news, but they broke into the news. Somebody was doing, I forget who it was, but they were doing news, and they broke into the newscast to report that Justin Timberlake had been arrested on DWI charges. How is that important compared to the news? But it's an entertainer. So, you're break into the news to give you this information about an entertainer. And I remember years ago, one of the true journalists on MSNBC was doing a story about national security, and they broke into the news to tell you about the arrest of Justin Bieber in Miami. So these are indications that the news has become entertainment. All right, we're going to come back to wrap up the show. And this is the NBA draft, so I know that there will be a lot to talk about coming up on Sports Talk. And, man, tomorrow is the debate. So we'll be talking about that on the show tomorrow. Yes, cruel summer. So far, it has been hot. It has been a cruel summer. Let's hope it doesn't get too cruel. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, tomorrow is the debate, so we'll be talking about the debate, and I'm sure there'll be like a lot of new information out about Trump and Biden getting ready for the debate, speculation about who's going to win, and, you know, a lot of people have already figured out who's going to win. It's the candidate they support. Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Steve Geller coming up next. It's the NBA draft tip-off, and they'll have a lot to say about that. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, our assistant program director and brand manager, and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, traffic with Joe Cardosi. And as always, I thank you for being part of the show. Hey, if you haven't done it yet, become part of our family on Scoot on the Air, Facebook and Instagram. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.